It's quite a statement, congregation, that we just sang, "I thirst for thy commandments, Lord." How many of us thirst for the commandments of God, for the Word of God? May the Lord so work that in all of our hearts. Let us turn to the Word of God now, hopefully with thirsty hearts, as we turn again to Paul's letter to the Philippians, chapter 1. We read the verses 1 through 11. Let us hear the word of God. "Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, with the bishops and deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making request for you all with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ, just as it is right for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my chains and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you all are partakers with me of grace. For God is my witness how greatly I long for you all with the affection of Jesus Christ." And now verses 9 through 11 form our text this morning. "And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God." May the Lord bless his holy and infallible word. And we have a wonderful example of that in the words of our text this morning, Philippians 1, verses 9 through 11. Back in verse 4, Paul had informed the Philippians that he prayed for them often, and that when he did so with joy. Well, now in verses 9 through 11, he tells us what he prays about. And I read those verses again, and these are the verses of our text. "And this I pray," he says, "that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God." That's Paul's prayer for the Philippians. And it's without a doubt one of the most beautiful prayers that Paul has recorded in his epistles. And it contains so much that we can barely scratch the surface this morning. But with God's help, we will try to understand at least some of the main aspects of this prayer. And we do so under the theme, Paul's Prayer for the Philippians. Three thoughts. First of all, the central burden of this prayer. Secondly, the practical purpose of this prayer. And then thirdly, the ultimate result of this prayer. First then, the central burden of this prayer. When you read Paul's prayer to the Philippians carefully, you will notice that it contains one central burden. Now, at first glance, you might not say so. At first glance, you might think that Paul here is praying for four things. You might say that, first of all, he's praying that their love might abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment. That's the first thing he prays for. And then we might say that the second thing he prays for is that they may approve the things that are excellent. And then we might say that the third thing that he prays for is that they may be sincere and without offense to the day of Christ. And that the fourth thing that he prays for is that they might be filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. So Paul here, and some have actually made this argument, and you can read many commentators on Philippians, and they also kind of make the same argument, that Paul here is praying for four things, and he's listing them all one after the other. But that's not what he's doing. The grammar of the text in the original Greek tells us that Paul here is praying for one thing. He has one central burden or concern on his heart. And that one central burden, that one central concern is that their love may abound. And everything that follows after that builds on that one central concern. He's praying about love. What is love? The word love appears many times in the Bible, and we use it many times, but what does it mean? And then we need to make sure that we distinguish biblical love from how the world defines love. Our culture, our society today, defines love as basically sexual or romantic. That's the kind of view of love, the definition, the concept of love that exists in the minds of most people today. But that is not the kind of love that the Apostle Paul is referring to here, obviously. When Paul speaks of love, the love that he wants to abound in the Philippians, he is referring to an affection between believers in the Lord Jesus Christ that manifests itself in self-sacrifice, in putting others ahead of yourself, in esteeming others better than yourself, in being willing to do anything for the advantage, for the well-being, and the happiness of others. Now, that's the kind of love that God has for sinners. In fact, the Greek word that Paul uses here is the same word that John uses in John 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world. It's agape. And agape is a love of self-sacrifice, a love of devotion. It's not a romantic love. It's certainly not a sexual love. But it's a love of devotion. This is the kind of love that motivated God the Father to send His only begotten Son into the world to die on the cross. Now Paul says, that's the kind of love that I pray may abound more and more in you. Now you notice that Paul here does not specify the object of this love. He simply says, I pray that your love may abound. But for what? Love for what? Love for whom? He doesn't say. Is he thinking about love for God? Is he thinking about love for their fellow men in general? Is he thinking particularly about love for fellow believers in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ? Again, Paul doesn't say, and he doesn't say probably for a reason, because he wants to include all of these. But it's likely that Paul here is thinking particularly of his fellow believers, of fellow believers in the church, and then particularly in the local church. I say that because in 1 Thessalonians 3, verse 12, Paul writes something similar. There he says, and may the Lord make you increase and abound in love, there's the same phrase, to one another and to all, just as we do to you. So Paul here is not excluding love for God, but he's thinking primarily of love for all men, including our enemies, unbelieving people, but in particular the love. He's thinking about the love that we should have for one another within the church of Jesus Christ. And he prays for that. He prays that this love may abound. And that it may abound more and more. And that phrase, more and more, is typical of Paul's writing. Paul, when it comes to the Christian life, when it comes to Christian graces, Paul is never satisfied with the bare minimum. He's never satisfied with the status quo. We so often are. We've become so complacent, I'm afraid, in the Church of Christ that if we just love each other a little bit, we're saying, well, at least I love my brothers and sisters in Christ, and we're satisfied with that. But Paul is saying, no, don't be satisfied with just a bare minimum. He wants the Philippians to love more and more. He wants their love for each other to abound more and more. Paul always wants the people to whom he's writing to grow and to advance and to mature, to reach higher and higher and higher. And that's what he wants for the Philippians as well. He wants their love to abound more and more. The Puritan Matthew Poole writes that Paul prays that their love, and I quote, showed in their bounty to him might as a rising stream from its springing fountain yet further flow out and more abundantly communicate itself in all Christian offices and not abate but continue increasing to the end. So Matthew Poole imagines this love as a fountain of water. Children, you've all seen a fountain of water before. And that water, that just keeps gushing up and up and up, doesn't it? It never stops. And Paul says, that's the kind of love I want you to have for each other. Like a fountain that is constantly gushing forth water. Now, if we take a step back from this, we can ask ourselves the question of all the things that the Apostle Paul could have prayed about. I mean, just think about it. He didn't have to pray.